As the Senate considers historic global warming legislation, Jews are being encouraged to light one less candle for a green Hanukkah. And an epic fantasy movie opens this Friday, but it's no Chronicles of Narnia. We'll discuss the atheism in The Golden Compass. Also, has the Bush administration been overplaying the Iran nuclear threat? This is Jerry Johnson Live from Criswell College. Join us as we look at today's news from the Christian worldview for Christ and culture.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
I have a dream.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Welcome to Jerry Johnson Live. For the next hour, this is your place for relevant discussion of topics in the news and in our culture from a Christian perspective. Your host is Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications. Later in the show, we'll open the toll-free lines for your questions and comments. You may also email us at talk@jerryjohnsonlive.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson.
I know there are people who talk about turning up the heat or rallying people or firing people up. We've got to tone things down a bit, in my view, in this country here. We need to understand that we've got to come together as a people here. We need to elect a president that has the proven ability to bring people together to make a difference for our country.
All right, that's Senator Chris Dodd. He's running for president of the United States. He is a Democrat, and he's saying we need to change the tone. We need to tone it down. But actually, just the opposite is happening. We have Republicans attacking Republicans this week, and we have Democrats attacking Democrats. In fact, in just a few minutes, we're going to listen to a new Democrat attack ad against Hillary Clinton. Coming up in the second segment, who do you support for president of the United States? We'll open the lines. We'll play some of the candidates and what they're saying now in segment two. You don't want to miss that. And then I want to ask you if you remember this old song, The Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
All right, later in the program, we're going to inaugurate tonight the Grinch Award, and we're going to do this every day up until Christmas. Local businesses, local schools that do not have the Christmas spirit, that are boycotting Christmas, you won't believe. And you'll want to stay tuned. Toward the end of the show, we'll be giving out our first inaugural Grinch Award. What else is coming up, Penna?
Well, we will be talking about this realignment going on in the presidential race. Both parties, Hillary, no longer inevitable, it seems. And we'll talk a little bit about this new intelligence report that states that Iran halted its nuclear weapons program in 2003. How does that affect the race? And how is the Bush administration explaining and handling this? Also, The Golden Compass opens in theaters on Friday. It's a high-budget fantasy. It sort of has the look of the Chronicles of Narnia, but it's really the anti-Narnia. We're going to discuss this film with Bob Knight of the Media Research Center.
Okay, what in the world does Hanukkah have to do with global warming? Tonight at sundown, Hanukkah begins. Here's more on that.
The eight-day Hanukkah festival is the longest in the Jewish calendar and one of the happiest. The festival commemorates the rededication of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem after local forces drove out the Seleucids in 165 B.C. Each night, observant Jewish families light another candle on their eight-branch menorah, recalling the legendary miracle of a small container of oil for the temple's candelabra lasting 8 days. It's known for mass consumption of fattening foods, like jelly donuts and potato pancakes. Mark Levy, Jerusalem.
Okay, now what does that have to do with global warming? There is a campaign spreading on the internet, a group of Israeli environmentalists encouraging Jews around the world to light at least one less candle this Hanukkah to help the environment. And, of course, the Senate is expected to vote on the Lieberman-Warner cap-and-trade bill tomorrow. And with us to talk about global warming and these proposals, Mark Morano. He is Communications Director for the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. Mark, thank you for being with us again. What do you think of this trim down on the Hanukkah candles?
Well, this is actually a long tradition of environmentalists going after religious and other holidays. About 3 years ago, I wrote about a story about the environmental groups urging people to use dead wood instead of Christmas trees because they thought Christmas trees were eco-destructive. But they're down now to the point where they're telling people not to light a candle. This is, you know, just the point of absurdity, but it's all about symbolism, and it's actually very telling because this is a campaign, the entire global warming solution campaign. You mentioned the bill here in the U.S. Senate. It's all about symbolism. Everyone freely admits, Al Gore's own scientists, even the U.N., Kyoto Protocol, not a single proposal in 2.5 decades would have any impact on the I wouldn't say the environment, but on our climate. This is admitted. Kyoto, if fully enacted, which it's not being fully enacted, would have no impact. Not lighting one of your Hanukkah candles would have no impact. The Lieberman-Warner bill before the U.S. Senate, which is going to be voted on tomorrow in committee, and then it'll be referred to the full Senate, will have no impact. Every other cap and trade bill proposed will have no impact. All of these are pure symbolism on the climate, but they have real consequences on economics and on transferring wealth and regulatory power over to the government and or the UN, depending on which plan you're talking about. So this Hanukkah campaign dovetails perfectly because it's all about symbolism. The problem is this is very costly symbolism.
Mark, you mentioned the trim down here, of course, of one candle in Hanukkah, but you've referred to Al Gore. I want to play a brief soundbite of Gore on one of his proposals.
I think we should immediately freeze CO2 emissions in the United States of America and then begin a program of sharp reductions to reach at least 90% reductions by 2050.
Mark, I want to ask you two questions about this proposal. You mentioned how some of these proposals would hurt our economy. That proposal that we freeze right now CO2 emissions in America, number one, what would it do to the economy? And number two, would it actually help the environment?
No, I mean, you can impact the environment when you're talking about things like air pollution, deforestation, but you cannot impact the environment when you're talking about things like CO2. CO2 is a natural part of the environment. I should say, I'm not making this assertion. This is what hundreds of scientists actually are going to be saying in our Senate report coming out here very soon. Several hundred scientists just spoken out this year essentially saying that Gore has it not only wrong, but dead wrong, that CO2 actually follows temperature increases. And all of this effort to limit CO2 is going to do one thing, drive up the price of energy, make it scarcer, give us more regulations and harm economic growth. What's going to happen when the energy goes up? You're going to have more poor people not being able to meet their bills. Now, Gore owns three homes. He actually doesn't even listen to his own sea level rise worries. He has a house near the beach in San Francisco, a condo. He's got a house in Tennessee. And he flies in private jets when he could easily fly commercial. He's going to be jetting over to the Bali UN conference, or he's scheduled to. So for him, the obvious thing to say is, how come he doesn't do an immediate freeze on his own CO2? Senator Inhofe, when Gore came to our committee, challenged Gore to live within the average home electrical use at one of his three homes, and Gore refused that by saying he buys offsets, even though he uses, by one estimate, 20 times the electricity or the energy in his one home. So the bottom line of this entire thing is you go back decades, back to the 1970s, very similar solutions for environmental problems. Very
symbolism over substance. I got to ask you one other question,
sure.
Because CBS was advertising a hip environmental reporter,
yes,
opening, and there were two things written there: no knowledge of the environment necessary, and second, a lot of domestic travel. We could only suppose that was on airlines and
heavy
trains
travel,
and buses.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, this is CBS News. They got caught. And actually, in some ways, it was refreshing because the networks right now in their environmental reporting, be it Anderson Cooper at CNN, be it Ann Thompson at NBC, be it Bill Blakemore at ABC, be it Miles O'Brien at CNN, you just go on, Scott Pelley at CBS, is so embarrassingly bad across the board they're doing these stories that are literally just taking talking points from environmental groups. So it's refreshing to see CBS come out and say, hey, no experience necessary. In a way, and I actually got a lot of emails from that blog post, a lot of people said, we should encourage this because if they have no experience, they're less likely to be an activist, which is what CBS News and all the other ones currently have on their payroll, are these activists who skew the news. Maybe someone with no experience, maybe a hip reporter with no experience might be able to do the heavy travel schedule and do better reporting. But CBS got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. That went all over the place. And they're pretty much being ridiculed for that, you know, for that posting. But it just goes to show you that this is the state of our news today. Although, that may have been just for a humorous job, some kind of cultural environmental reporting job. It's hard to tell from the ad, but it was a silly ad and it embarrassed CBS.
Mark Morano is with us. He's communications director for the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. Mark, there's a story that we discussed last week, but I want to run it by you because it's a piece of news out of Great Britain, who's a little bit more radical than we are on this global warming agenda. And a woman there had an abortion 10 years ago,
Yes. Then
later was sterilized because she was saying pregnancy is bad for the environment. And so they're talking about doing your environmental duty by not having children, saying having children is selfish. Talk about that.
This is a whole thing. This is a lot of this is behind the global warming. It's that overpopulation fear. But oddly enough, even, really environmental activist far-out websites like grist.org, which is they've actually called for Nuremberg-style trials for global warming skeptics, do not acknowledge population as a problem anymore. They've published articles underpopulation by 2060, 2080 could be a problem. The population is going to stabilize out. That's what all the projections are showing. All the computer modeling from the 1970s that everyone's scared has not borne fruit. Now, what's happening, though, is people, you mentioned getting abortions, getting sterilizations. This is an ideology, and this is being seeped into our kids. I spoke to a sixth-grade class. They're worried about environmental catastrophe. According to the Washington Post, kids are being medicated more. This is going to grow up. There's going to be a lot more young women growing up, like the one you just mentioned in the UK, from this generation. People growing up on Laurie David's kids' book in school. People growing up on Al Gore. People growing up on Leonardo DiCaprio. They have them terrified. The bottom line is there is no... They're always looking for a crisis, and they've alternated between population, global cooling, disappearing Amazon, and now global warming.
It's really symbolism, as you mentioned earlier in the program, but with some pretty tragic consequences, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, when you have, this lady's talking about, she had an abortion because of just absolutely, completely unfounded reasons. It becomes a religion to them. And this, what Senator Inhofe has talked about this on the floor. Michael Crichton has talked about this. It's the church of global warming, the church of environmental catastrophism.
Is this bill going to pass committee tomorrow?
It looks like it's going to pass committee, but the real battle will probably be January, February, March when it goes to the floor. They'll need 60 votes. This is just a horrible situation that is not going to have any impact. It's going to create a whole new presidentially appointed board modeled after the Federal Reserve, a whole new federal bureaucracy. And think about it, conservatives used to call, for eliminating the Department of Education,
right,
and getting rid of stuff. And here we are now with the United States Senate passing a brand new bureaucracy. Keep in mind, this is regulating CO2, something we expel from our mouth. It could be the largest intrusion of government since the New Deal or Great Society.
Unbelievable. Mark Morano, thank you so much for joining us today.
You,
we always appreciate your input on this very important issue.
Sure, and I'll be going off to Bali at the UN conference to spew emissions here later this week.
Oh, good.
We want an update when you get back. We'll get an update when you get back.
I'll be down there. Okay, sure.
All right, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Democrats and the Republicans attacking one another. We're going to ask you who you support for president of the United States. I'll open up the lines now, 800-881-9270. 800-881-9270. And we'll also be talking about this new movie, The Golden Compass. Is this an innocent movie for children, or does it have an atheistic agenda? And later in the program, The Grinch Awards. What schools, what businesses in our area do not have the Christmas spirit? And to get you in the mood for those awards, here's the Grinch.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
If you're looking for a college experience that is distinctively Christian, come to Criswell College. Contact us today for information about the upcoming term. Criswell College places a strong emphasis on the Word of God, a Christian worldview, and being an effective witness to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Criswell College is totally committed to the Bible as the authoritative, inspired, and inerrant Word of God to ensure that every student receives a solid biblical and doctrinal foundation. Our worldview approach to ministry prepares every Criswell College student to view each academic discipline through a Christian frame of reference and to engage our culture and the world of ideas from a Christian perspective. Along with this word and worldview emphasis, each Criswell College student gets hands-on ministry training in missions and evangelism to be an effective witness through mission trips at home and abroad. Contact Criswell College today for information about the upcoming term. Call 1-800-899-0012 or on the web go to criswell.edu. That's criswell.edu. You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications.
On issue after issue, my opponent voted present instead of yes or no.
All right, that's Hillary Clinton going on the attack against Barack Obama. He does not have a record of decisiveness, she says. He's not willing to say yes or no. And here she is criticizing Obama for skipping out on deciding whether or not to name an Iranian military unit a terrorist organization.
When it comes to Iran, I took a stand for aggressive diplomacy. Now, one of my opponents made a different choice. He didn't show up for the vote.
All right, in just a minute, who do you support? Barack or Hillary? Or maybe it's a Republican. You support Romney. You support Giuliani. Do you support Huckabee? We're opening up the lines. 800-881-9270. 800-881-9270. But first, let's go to John on the line from Louisville. I think he has a comment about the previous segment on global warming. John.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I hope that Huckabee makes it through, and that's what I'm planning on voting for at this moment. But
hey, why do you like Huckabee? Tell us.
I just think he's the best moral candidate that there is. Mm. I mean, that in my opinion, I've got to go biblical on that. And I mean, he's got faults, but
and when you say morals, what topics, what moral issues really you think Huckabee is the man because of his position on?
I believe that his position on marriage is the number one issue, and abortion.
So he is pro biblical traditional marriage and pro life as well. So
yes,
those
sir.
Are two major issues for you.
But on the issue of the global warming, I think if all the liberalists would just stop exhaling, then there'd be lot less CO2 coming out.
Well, if
a lot less hot air.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, certainly all their traveling and their lifestyles in general, the large houses, I mean, they do not act like they really believe the propaganda that they're spewing out. And I think that's going to begin to wear more and more thin with the American people. But thank you for that insight, John. Well, let's go straight to these candidates. Let's do the Democrat side first, and then let's go Republican. We want your calls at 800-881-9270. Penna, something happening in the polls. USA Today, Gallup. Tell us what's happening in the polls. The front runners, what's happened?
Significant drops in support for Clinton. This is USA Today Gallup poll. And that's very interesting. Mike Huckabee standing in the national poll has shot up to the point where he actually leads a group of four GOP contenders that are tied for second place. Of course, Giuliani's still the front runner there. But that is very interesting. We've got 1 month to go before the January 3rd Iowa caucuses. In this survey, there were 425 Republicans and leaning Republicans surveyed, same number of Democrats. Under the Republicans, Giuliani, 25% versus 28% in the previous survey. So he's dropped in the survey. Meanwhile, Huckabee's up there, 16%, Fred Thompson, 15%, McCain, 15%, Romney, 12%. In the Democrats, Hillary is 39%. The previous survey, she was at 48% and 50% just before that. Barack Obama is at 24%. So he's still behind her. But he is moving up and she is dropping significantly. It's very interesting.
All right. We'd love to hear from you. If you support Hillary or Obama, give us a call at 800-881-9270. We'd had Daryl on the line. You dropped off. Call us back, Daryl, 800-881-9270. And who do you support? Why is Hillary dropping in the polls? Well, here is a Democrat attack ad against Hillary Clinton.
Hillary has some good ideas, like giving every American an equal shot at success.
I like the idea of giving every baby born in America a $5,000 account that will grow over time.
But then the Republicans attacked.
Tell me this isn't a socialist idea.
And Hillary backed down.
Remember the Hillary bond program? I challenged her on it. She backed off that.
We need a candidate who can stand up to the Republicans. Democratic Courage PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Okay, Hillary Clinton proposed giving $5,000 to every newborn baby. Giuliani attacked really quick. She backed off within a few days. Says, "Oh, I'm moving on from that." And but this is a group of Democrats essentially buying this ad.
The Democratic Courage PAC,
whoever that is. And but here's the point: Hillary was so far ahead, and everybody was saying she is the inevitable candidate. But now going into Iowa, she is behind Obama. And remember, Iowa was the death knell for Howard Dean. Howard Dean was all the rage until Iowa and this moment from Howard Dean.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
The idea of that man with his hand on the nuclear button just did not appeal to people, and he lost it. He lost it after that.
It was the Dean scream that sunk in.
But he's the head now of the Democrat Party. That's what's so fascinating. Yeah. Who do you support and why? We got Bob on the line from Terrell. Bob, thank you for calling. Bob, who are you backing?
Well, you know who I'm supporting, but I think the reason Hillary is dropped is because people are getting tired of saying, seeing Billy because she's going, Billy, they're hurting my feelings. And
well, Bob, you're right. We got to move on. But she is appealing to her husband, Bill Clinton. He's her prime defender right now. Is that going to work? She's rolling out Bill Clinton. Will that work against her? We got William on the line from Katy. William, thank you for calling. What's your view?
I just want to call and make a comment about the global warming topic.
Yes.
It was my understanding that the whole beginning of this global warming thing started with Margaret Thatcher. There was an uprising, I guess, in the coal unions over there, and she was trying to promote nuclear power, and she went to her scientists, and they had some information that they thought they could go with, and so they ran with it and started a big propaganda with that. And
I'm not aware of that, William. We'll look into that. That's very interesting. I encourage people to Google it, to look into it, to research it. But it has been, I think, Al Gore said it. He said, we want to, this is mass persuasion, mass propaganda. Mm-hmm. And certainly the science we've been hearing for the last several months on this program is running against it. We've got Kevin on the line from Chattanooga. Kevin, thank you for calling. What's your view?
Well, sir, I have a question for you. And thanks for taking my call, Dr. Johnson. But what would the biblical standpoint of Hillary being elected be?
Well, I think it's not about Hillary. It's about her policies. And I would say, look, she is pro-abortion, pro-choice, effectively pro-abortion, that she is not going to do a thing to stop the killing of thousands of unborn human beings every day. She also is weak on the homosexual issue. She thinks the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy should be overturned in the military, even though her husband is the one who signed it into law. And she would be for affirmation of homosexual relationship, probably would support some kind of a marriage or legal status for homosexual couples. So I would say on the two major issues that would be of concern to Christians, that the biblical response to Hillary Clinton would be that there are better options out there, that Christians would not have to be so desperate as to vote for Hillary. They can vote for life. They can vote for marriage. Did you have something else in mind?
Well, I mean, my personal view would be actually, you know, I was curious on what the biblical standpoint of a woman in power, being more or less being the commander in chief and such as that, you know, she was more like assuming the role of head of household.
Well, I would say if you want to be real strict with the New Testament about this, and I certainly believe it's infallible, I believe it's authoritative and inerrant, but as I see it, the limitation for a woman in leadership is the home and the church. There is no such limitation for the nation and for the country. And so we know that the husband is to be the leader of the home, and we know that the Apostle Paul says that the pastor of the church must be the husband of one wife. So it's assumed there that it would be a man. But he goes on to say elsewhere that he wouldn't allow the woman to teach or to be an authority in the church. He's talking about the role of the church, the pastor in the church. So qualified women would not be disqualified, in my view, from serving as president of the country or prime minister of Great Britain. And I think there are women who could do it. Are qualified, but I don't think Hillary is one of them.
Well, I don't either.
And speaking as a woman,
yeah,
Penny,
I don't think she is either. But you know, just on the female woman issue, it's very interesting because Hillary has looked from the very beginning of her campaign to support from women, and there's been a lot of news about her saying, "Well, she's going for the elderly women," and that especially in Iowa. And now some of the polls are showing that these elderly women in Iowa are actually moving for Obama. And in Iowa, it's very important because this is a caucus, and it takes a little bit of energy and time to even be involved in this. It's not just casting a vote. It's going out on a winter night and caucusing with people. And so she's vying for this 55-plus age group for women, and right now Obama is sort of moving past her in that area.
So Bill is going to campaign for Hillary, and Oprah is going out to campaign for Obama, and we're going to see how this plays out. But Obama now the front runner in Iowa, and Hillary dropping almost 10 points in the national polls. We'll keep following the story. We didn't get to the Republicans, but I hope to do that later in the show. So, Santiago, you can call back later in the show. Thank you for holding. But others on the Republican side later in the program. We'll talk about Mitt Romney. He's given his Mormonism speech in 2 days on Thursday night. And when we come back, The Golden Compass, a children's movie, opens in theaters this Friday. It's a high-budget fantasy. It has the look of the Chronicles of Narnia, but it's really the anti-Narnia with an atheistic agenda. You must hear this segment. We'll bring in an expert. If you want to call in, we'll take your calls later. Sherry Johnson Live with Penny Dexter. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications.
There is a world where witches rule the northern skies, where ice bears are the bravest of warriors, and where every human is joined with an animal spirit who is as close to them as their own heart.
Are we going to see the child?
I should think so.
But this world is dominated by the Magisterium.
The Magisterium.
It seeks to control all humanity.
To control all humanity.
And whose greatest threat is a golden compass and the one child destined to possess it.
What's this?
It's the Golden Compass, Myra. I feel you're meant to have it.
But what's it for?
It lets you glimpse what is to come. It's of the utmost importance, perhaps to all creation.
All right, that's the promotional trailer for the movie The Golden Compass, starting right now on Jerry Johnson Live and on KCBI. This week, we're warning folks about this movie, The Golden Compass. You can go to the website, kcbi.org. There's a survey there. You should participate. Tell us what you think about this movie. And the news department at KCBI is going to be bringing a special report on this as it unfolds, beginning tomorrow, Thursday morning, and then a special on Saturday with the Christian News Weekly at 12:30 p.m. But right now, we have got a special guest, an expert, to talk about it all.
This is one of those movies that's getting lots of publicity at the schools, at Target, at Toys R Us, just everywhere families go. And so we feel it's important to warn folks about it. It also looks like a beautifully done movie, and it stars Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig, the James Bond, the new James Bond. So, of course, there are going to be families all over the nation seeing it. And with us to discuss this is Bob Knight. Bob Knight is with the Media Research Center. He heads up the Culture and Media Institute there. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
We think it's important to talk about this movie. And, of course, it's sort of shades of Chronicles of Narnia. And yet, the man, Philip Pullman, that wrote the books that this is based on, hates the Chronicles of Narnia, so it's really the anti-Narnia, isn't it?
It is. Philip Pullman is an outspoken atheist, and he said in an interview he was surprised that he's been able to fly under the radar, that the parents who had concerns over Harry Potter haven't really touched him, and he says, my books are about killing God. And the director of this of Golden Compass, Chris Weitz, admitted in a little-known interview on MTV blog that they deliberately watered down the pro-atheist message in the Golden Compass so they could get kids hooked, they could make a lot of money on it, and then make the second and third parts of the trilogy from the His Dark Materials trilogy. And that's where they really bring the message home, that the church is evil, that the Christianity is a horrible oppression of mankind, and the children end up killing God in the end, and that's what frees their spirits. But the fact that they're deliberately deluding people, trying to get them hooked, it's a little like offering a sample on a playground of a drug, hoping to get them hooked, and then you give them the hard stuff later.
In talking about this the last couple of days, we've made the point that here we are coming up on Christmas, and you've got an atheist or an atheism-promoting movie. Isn't this just typical of Hollywood?
Yeah, Hollywood's values were never all that great, to tell you the truth. Even in Hollywood's golden age, there's a lot of stuff going on, but at least they knew enough about American values to at least rise to the level of hypocrisy. So they didn't parade their immorality before the public, and they knew the public wanted moral tales. But this isn't the only movie out at Christmas. Sweeney Todd about cannibalism is coming out.
Great.
A couple more that are just hideous themes. But I think The Golden Compass is the big one. It's a $150 million film. They're putting $120 million alone into marketing, which surpasses that of The Lord of the Rings. And they really hope that they have many product tie-ins. You've already mentioned that. I mean, they've got Burger King and Coca-Cola and Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. I mean, the list goes on. But how many parents out there know that every dollar they spend on these toys or at the movie theater will go toward the full-bore promotion of atheism and anti-faith?
Probably hardly any.
This is Jerry Johnson Live. We're talking to Robert Knight. He heads the Culture and Media Institute at the Media Research Center in Alexandria, Virginia. Robert, thank you for being with us. And I want to contrast this to the work of C.S. Lewis, because I think, you know, parents were so excited about the Chronicles of Narnia. And again, Robert Pullman has written the materials, the basis for the Golden Compass. Here's what he said about C.S. Lewis's work, The Chronicles of Narnia. He said, quote, I find it morally loathsome, and quote, one of the most ugly and poisonous things I ever read. Narnia, he said, is the Christian one, and mine is the non-Christian one. Do you think parents are going to get this message?
I think the marketing campaign will be so slick and the production values are so high that a lot of families are going to go to this film thinking it's just another family adventure, and why not go? Everybody else is going. But, you know, word is getting out that this is really a sale of Satanism. That's really what it is, because Philip Pullman, while he says he's an atheist, is really selling Satanism to kids, because as Ted Baer of the Christian Film and TV Commission has pointed out, another theme of the movie is that kids empower themselves. One of them tries to kill her mother, And she's justified in doing so because the mother is a nasty creature. But the mother's always trying to protect the child. And the message is you must be liberated from your parents or any other figures of authority, and above all from the church and Christianity, and finally from God. This is the message right from the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. Ye shall be as gods. So we are concerned about them pushing atheism. They're really also pushing a satanic view of life.
And what... do you see also a sexual sub-theme here in this trilogy?
Oh, yeah. They said it'll be overtly sexual, not so much in the first movie. That's the thing. They're watering down some of the themes, but Philip Pullman has said that one of his goals is to sexually liberate everyone, including children. So, you know, you see what the real agenda is, and it's... certainly not in keeping with Christian values.
Robert, we're going to do on Thursday morning here on KCBI, major expose. We have Ted Baer also coming on Jerry Johnson Live Thursday night. Saturday, Christian News Weekly, we'll be focusing on this again. And so we're creating a lot of opportunities for folks to be informed. But this movie is opening on Friday, The Golden Compass. Do you have any suggestions for how Christians and other conservatives can really get the message out and have an impact here?
Okay, well, first, we have four articles on it on our website at cultureandmedia.com.
So that, cultureandmedia.com.
Right, and that equips parents to be able to deal with their neighbors who say, oh, come on, it's just a fantasy.
Yes.
One of them, I quote a San Francisco Chronicle writer who openly says Christians are the scum of the earth and they're getting what's coming.
And he loves this movie, right?
Oh, he loves it. He said, oh, this is wonderful. It's dripping with sensuality and it's anti-God, anti-Christian. What more could we ask? I mean, he's openly contemptuous. I heard today from one woman that a school district was planning a field trip to the movie, and word got out among the parents, and they raised such a ruckus that the school changed it and said, we're not going to take all the kids to the Golden Compass. Now that we know it's a, you know, probably violates the First Amendment, establishing religion.
Yeah.
It's pushing Satanism. So people can make an impact. If you see your schools doing anything on this, I think you can make a strong case that, look, you won't even say Merry Christmas in school anymore. It's Happy Holidays, and yet you're pushing this stuff on our kids. I don't know how they can answer that.
Robert Knight, the anti-Pullman, is with us. And Robert, give that website one more time, would you?
Cultureandmedia.com.
Cultureandmedia.com. I also want to send our listeners to albertmoeller.com. He's done an excellent essay about this movie. He's a theologian we trust, and we've had him on this program again, albertmoeller.com. Excellent article about this film, The Golden Compass. Robert, thank you for being with us. We'll have you back.
Well, Jerry, thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, Penna, once again, Thursday's the big day here on KCBI. Thursday morning, The Morning Show. We'll be talking to Ted Baer and Rod Butler from the Coconut Hut, and because he's an expert on children. And
he's been studying this.
And he's ready to go. Mm-hmm. People want to tune in Thursday morning. But also Thursday night, Ted Baer will be back on this program. And so we're excited to just sound the alarm and be on the wall. And you need to be informed. And you need to be praying and find a way to be salt and light in your neighborhood, in your school.
I think there's lots of ways to do that, because when kids are planning on going to this movie, your children's friends, for instance, it's a way to educate the other parents about it. I mean, there are two schools of thought here. Some people say, well, we'll just forbid our children to go. Others say, well, we'll go with them and we'll talk about these themes. So, you know, some parents have different styles with regard to this, but we just think it's really important for parents to know what this is all about, because there is a lot in here that is quite damaging.
Well, if you take your children, I think they ought to be at least 18 years old of this one, because these younger ones are not able to discern on something like this. And I think you need to exercise some control there. Well, we'll continue to update you on this topic, but we don't need to panic. This movie is not going to kill the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do need to be informed. We need to be salt. We need to be light. On another front, have you seen stores and schools, more or less, boycotting Christmas? Only Happy Holidays, maybe not even that. We're inaugurating tonight the Grinch Awards. When we come back, we're going to talk about who is the first winner of the Grinch Award.
You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
If you're looking for a college experience that is distinctively Christian, come to Criswell College. Contact us today for information about the upcoming term. Criswell College places a strong emphasis on the Word of God, a Christian worldview, and being an effective witness to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Criswell College is totally committed to the Bible as the authoritative, inspired, and inerrant Word of God to ensure that every student receives a solid biblical and doctrinal foundation. Our worldview approach to ministry prepares every Criswell College student to view each academic discipline through a Christian frame of reference and to engage our culture and the world of ideas from a Christian perspective. Along with this word and worldview emphasis, each Criswell College student gets hands-on ministry training in missions and evangelism to be an effective witness through mission trips at home and abroad. Contact Criswell College today for information about the upcoming term. Call 1-800-899-0012 or on the web go to criswell.edu. That's criswell.edu. You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications.
You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
All right, that's the Grinch. The Grinch who stole Christmas. And we're going to be on the watchtower, the wall, leading up to Christmas here at Jerry Johnson Live, the Grinch Award. We're going to give it daily or regularly, how often we see offenders. And the first winner of this award, Penna, is Lowe's. Lowe's. In their 2007 holiday catalog, 56 pages of gifts, holiday gifts, they feature family trees. Not Christmas trees, but family.
The family tree.
Trees. What do you think of that?
I think it's amazing. You know, I go back to when I was raising my little kids, and I used to worry about not emphasizing Jesus enough in Christmas and how it was so commercial. And, you know, should we even get a Christmas tree? I mean, I heard there were pagan origins to that. Should we have a Santa Claus? You know, are we sending the wrong message about Christmas? And it's funny today because now you can't even hear Merry Christmas. When you're walking around the mall shopping, it's always Happy Holidays. It's very hard to find a Christmas card that says Merry Christmas on it because it's being stripped. The whole celebration of this holiday is being stripped from our culture, and it reminds me of what happened in many totalitarian countries where they take this kind of celebration out of it, and they bring in sort of a cold public square. And, you know, we told a story in the beginning of the program about how the global warming fanatics want to change the celebration of Hanukkah just by removing one candle. But, you know, where does it end? And I think in this situation, this is an area where people need to fight back. Really, these Christmas wars have actually, we've taken a few steps back because some commercial enterprises are bringing Merry Christmas back because they see that the customer wants it. And, you know, really, this is their biggest money-making season. So in a sense, it's funny that I was worried about too much commercialism in Christmas, too much Santa and too many Christmas trees, and now we wonder if we're even going to be able to keep those things.
Now, maybe many of you remember this episode of Seinfeld, but essentially people are sitting around complaining about Christmas, and then I think it's George's father has this to say.
A new holiday was born, a Festivus for the rest of us.
So the people that were upset with Christmas wanted a Festivus for the rest of us. And that's what we've got here. But you're right, Penna. Many years ago in America, Madison Avenue, Wall Street, decided they would jump on the Christmas bandwagon, mm-hmm. and it was the commercialization of Christmas. And the church tolerated that, and they made a lot of money. But now we've got the secularization of Christmas. So first, think of this. The stores and Wall Street sort of jumping on the bandwagon to make money and now wanting to throw the Christians off the bandwagon right. and keep making the money. That is, it was a sort of a bait and switch. They hijack this. They want to keep the commercialization of the holiday without the original religious meaning. And so, yes, Christians were rightly concerned with the commercialization of Christmas. And we still should be concerned about that. But we should even be more concerned, I think, with the secularization now of Christmas, which may be the next step. And Lowe's is guilty party number one. And they're the first recipient of the Grinch Award. But this show is about the Christian worldview. And I want us to think about a scripture, Matthew 1. And this is an announcement from the angel to Joseph about Mary. Matthew 1:21, she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, our flagship station is KCBI here on Jerry Johnson Live, and this is, we're talking about keeping Christ in Christmas. And this scripture reminds us about the true meaning of Christmas. You will call his name Jesus, Yeshua, the Old Testament Hebrew name for Joshua. In fact, in the book of Acts, you see the interplay of Jesus and Joshua as names. But you shall call his name Yeshua or Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Just as Joshua had the name in the Old Testament and was the deliverer and was the leader in battle, he was, quote, the Savior. As they went into the promised land. So Jesus Christ saves, Yeshua saves his people from their sin. A lot of people think Jesus came to be a teacher. A lot of people think that Jesus came to be a moral example. Some say he came to be a martyr. And yes, he came to teach. Yes, he came to be an example. But the main reason he came, the main reason he was named Jesus, is to save his people from their sin. Now, somebody would say, well, I like Jesus, but I don't need a Savior. And what you need to know, if you think that way about Christmas, I like Christmas, but I don't want to be a Christian, or I like the idea of Christ or the Christ and the moral example, but I'm not a lost sinner, then Jesus is not for you. You don't need Jesus. Jesus says, you know, I've come to heal the sick. Those who well don't need a physician. That's why he was around the sinners and the publicans, and he ate with them, and he spent time with them, because they're the ones who needed to be saved. But if tonight you know that you have sinned and that you need forgiveness and that you need a different kind of a life that pleases God, a life that has a purpose, a life living for God, you need a Savior. Why? Because you need to be forgiven of your sin. And then you need to be saved from the power of that sin. So you need forgiveness to escape the penalty of sin, and you need the power to escape the shackles and the domination of that sin over your life. And that's what the gospel is all about. Christ died for our sins on that cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And that's how we get the forgiveness of sin. It's called the atonement. But he didn't stay in that grave. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and he's reigning. He's in authority. He's king. He's King Jesus. And that's why we talk about him being the King of the Jews, and he is king. And you need to give your life to him. You need to submit to him. You need to follow him as Lord. So you receive Christ. You look to Jesus to be your Savior. You take Christ. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And then you follow him as Lord, as King, as Master, and he will save you from sin's power, sin's domination in your life. Look to him today. And look to KCBI on Thursday morning and Thursday night to hear more about The Golden Compass and the evil agenda of that film.
You've been listening to Jerry Johnson Live, a Christian Worldview radio show. Join Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for an hour of relevant discussion of news and culture from a Christian perspective.